Well, welcome to the shortest after hours in the history of after hours. But it is going to be incredibly substantive because except for about 3 minutes of commercials in about 5 minutes, I'm debriefing you, Roger Badish. Awesome. Roger Badish, who you have known and admired as the newsman here, is retiring. So he says, next Sunday on Halloween.
Right.
So
right.
Is there some kind of joke involved in
No,
this?
No. Actually, this includes Steve Ruxton, who was on the shift, new shift before mine. I was hired late in September, about 16 years ago, and my first recollection, other than coming in on my first, it was a Friday night going into Saturday, because I would teach all week long, come in.
How did you get the job? Did you apply?
I applied. I saw an ad in a trade publication, a broadcasting trade publication, and I went to Bridget. I wrote about it in the book.
Bridget, his wife. His lovely wife.
I should identify, because she's listening now. She's actually...
She only listens to me, is my understanding.
I know.
Yeah,
she says, I know the news. I don't need to listen to you.
Yeah, you wake up screaming every night. That's how I know the news.
There's a traffic jam in Harlem that's backed up to Jackson Heights.
So you applied through...
I applied through an ad, but here was the conversation. One, I cleared it through her. Because she knew my desire to do this since before we got married. She's known. And so I said, this is not going to work out because, one, I'm too old. Two, they probably got the person they already want.
And they're just doing it as a...
formality. If people look behind the door, behind in the closet, that's kind of what's going on. And surprisingly, I sent it in. Couple weeks later, I called up, talked to Wes Bleed, who was the news director at the time.
Sure.
And Jim Goodis, who worked here.
I remember Jim.
And Christopher Michael, who worked here, remembered me from 1979 when I worked at Q101.
Wow.
And had said, yeah, this guy's legit.
Legitimate, yeah.
And I came in, did an audition. And 2 days later, I got the phone call, and Wes said, what have you been doing for the last 30 years?
Of course.
I've been raising a family and making a living.
Yeah.
You know.
And working for Harold Washington and working in Vegas
going
and working
places
and teaching.
That I thought in high school I would never go and do.
Like what?
Working for Harold Washington and Jane Byrne and working at the number one independent public relations agency in America, Edelman Public Relations, working for Gloria Jean's Coffees at the start of the gourmet coffee.
This is one of the things I really admire about your career is the sort of eclectic nature of it, Roger. You have gone in whatever fashion. You've said yes to a lot of opportunities without this kind of overriding career plan. I mean, you're like some...
I had no career plan. My career plan was to be in radio my entire life.
Yeah.
That's all I ever wanted to do.
What was it originally?
Well, originally it was I wanted to be a rock and roll DJ.
Yeah.
But then I went to college, SIU Carbondale, and...
Who were your rock and roll DJ heroes at the time?
John Landecker. Yeah. All the guys that were starting at Bob Surratt.
Sure.
These were guys. And then the earlier ones in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
That I listened to the rock and roll radio, you know, your little transistor underneath the pillow at night while you're going to grade school, junior high, and high school.
Ron Britton, Ron Brittoni. Clark Weber.
All these guys. And Wally Phillips on WGN, because that's what was on in the kitchen every morning as we got ready to go.
You know this as well as I do.
Yeah.
There was a time in this town when WGN and Wally Phillips in particular, the way they rate radio shows, ladies and gentlemen, is they will tell you the number of radios on.
Right.
And what percentage of those radios are tuned to a specific program. That number is called the share.
Mm-hmm.
And in the glory days of Wally Phillips and the station, Wally Phillips had more than 40, sometimes up to 50 share.
Yeah.
Meaning half the radios that were turned on to him.
That's right.
Different era.
Yeah. Oh,
different era.
Completely different choices now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Media, if you want to group internet and podcasting
and phone.
All this, phones. It has just burgeoned, and there are so many more choices now. You know, you don't have to have crates and crates and crates of albums that you carry around the country for years to listen to music. It's all on your phone now. That's also the change.
This leads me to something I want to talk about. Right, we have to take a 3-minute commercial break, but I want to talk to you about the nature of news over the last 15 years. You've been at the center of it, and I want to know, think about this, after you leave this radio game next Sunday, how are you going to consume news? Because there are, as you're saying, there are a million ways to do that. We'll be back in a few minutes with Roger Badish. Welcome back. I have a few more minutes with actually about 13 minutes left with Roger Badish. Roger Badish, who we've known and loved and admired on this station for the last 16 years, is calling it quits next Sunday night, which is Halloween. He will no longer be providing you the news. And there's an intimate relationship. We're just talking off the air between the voices that you hear on the radio. And I guess if you're nuts, the voices you hear in your head, too. But that is true, and that is not true of podcasts.
No.
It is not true. It's no longer true, really, of newspapers.
No.
The news, the whole face of the news has altered, and sometimes in frightening ways. How are you, Roger Badish, going to digest the news a week from Monday? Because now what you do, you are a news junkie. You are on. You must be on 50 different sites.
Yeah.
You must try to coordinate and gather your own broadcast. What are you going to do Monday, a week from Monday?
I have thought about this. I'm going to become a regular non-broadcast news, non-news person. I really have. It's... I think because I've been in the news business, and even when I wasn't working in radio news, those 30 years in between radio stations, I still followed the news, especially for the 20 years I was teaching broadcasting.
Yeah, of course.
It was one of my units. And then working in public relations, you had to follow the news.
We were working in politics.
In politics.
Yeah.
I presented the news. Every morning, I sent out videotapes that I started putting together at 4 o'clock in the morning to all the top officials of all the news.
In those days, just to dip into it for a while, that was a kind of innovative thing to do.
Yeah, it kind of was.
Yeah.
It really was. And they supported the purchase of the equipment for that, VHS machines everything. And you know, still typing away on typewriters, not computers. We had word processors that were just coming in. But I think because my focus is changing... and I've written about this on social media, that my focus has changed since we purchased our very first home. That
this is Roger and his wife, wife Bridget, moved into a home after, instead of downsizing, as many couples do, they have upsized. They moved into their first home after 40 years in,
40
an,
years
apartment.
In an apartment. We kind of downsized. We went from a 3-bedroom, 2-bath apartment to a 2-bedroom, 1-bath home.
You didn't have a lawn, though.
No.
You didn't have a lawn.
No.
You didn't have to fix your own plumbing.
No.
You didn't have to shovel your own snow. It's a big difference. I, of course, have never lived in a home.
Oh.
I have never lived in a house.
But you grew up in a home, didn't you?
Apartment.
Oh, that's right.
Sleeping in the same bedroom as my brother. Yeah.
But my focus has changed.
Sure.
My focus is now on, I hate to say it, relaxing. I know you're going to say, well, you're going to be too busy to relax. No, it's a different kind of relaxing.
What about your book, which is available everywhere, ladies and gentlemen? What's the title, the full title?
The Unplanned Life.
Unplanned Life. Right. I love that. You can read about all these. It's worth it for his relationship with Jane Byrne and Harold Washington. It really is. It's worth it for a lot of things, but that is quite special. You must have. I mean, I remember you going through the whole process with Eggart's Press.
Oh, right.
And
yeah.
Getting that done and trimming it here. Mm-hmm. And you'd never done a book before.
No.
Do you have a taste for doing a book? I know that there were frustrations.
I love to write.
Yeah,
as people who read my social media will tell you, and I've seen your, you know, your likes every so often, and I love to write. Bridget doesn't really think I should be writing
about much. Her. She certainly doesn't think you should be writing about her.
But she understands, and yes, I've for someone who barely graduated grade school and high school and had to go to remedial freshman English class over the summer.
Is that right?
Because I didn't know a noun from a verb.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
You've come a long way.
It's still a struggle at times because I go with the ideas that are flowing out. I'm not looking for construct as I'm writing.
But your first book sort of grew out of your... It grew out of your writing on Facebook. Was an incredible tool for you. It became like the place of your
first... It was
first
my diary.
Break. Yeah.
It was my diary.
Yeah.
A lot of people keep diaries and notebooks and stuff, and I didn't. And you're right, Facebook did open up a whole new world to me to be able to get those voices in my head down.
Yeah.
Not for other people to read, but a place for me to catalog it.
Sure. But also to get some kind of, as opposed to just, you know, screaming in a basement, you're getting some kind of...
And it gives me insight, because a lot of people go through life and they think that the things that happen to them only happen to them.
Yes, exactly.
Right? To be able to get the feedback, like, you spoke to me. How many people have written to me about when I went through the cancer?
Yeah.
And how many have said that the way that I approached it helped them approach theirs or their parents' cancer or ill health? Those kinds of things. How many people have written to me saying, we love your viewpoint on life, how you approach life? And I'm just a goofy idiot trying to get through life. I didn't know that would affect other people.
Well, it's because you lead. I mean, in here, you can't tell who's listening to your radio show or listening to the news and hanging on every word. We are all, and I think technology has isolated us from one another. And Facebook, as much as I am disdainful of Facebook for a lot of reasons, it does keep one connected.
Yeah.
Is it going to be hard? I mean, I look out there at Krista and Brett, to work with human beings on a even weekly basis is, I think, a very valuable thing. You're going to miss that interaction, aren't you?
I'm going to miss the camaraderie.
Yeah.
But in addition to having worked for so long, part of my adult life for 45 years, going on almost 46 years, has been marriage. And there's a lot that didn't happen in the marriage for all those years because I was working that will be happening now. And we're going to be able to make those things happen together in our own home without having to worry about the next door neighbors.
Yeah, Bridget, you better be listening to this, hon. You better be listening to this.
She knows already.
Can you tell me and the listeners without... giving too big a surprise to your wife. What might be among those plans?
Traveling
to
wherever.
Wow, wherever you
wherever
feel like
we
it.
Go. More dinners together.
That's so sweet.
We sit at our little table in the kitchen now. I barbecue every night. Whatever.
What's
she's
your specialty?
Up. Anything that'll grill.
Anything that will burn. Anything that will burn.
And there's a barbecue waiting for you, young man.
Oh, I know. And Karen Conti, I heard her begging to come out there with her husband, Jerry.
Yeah.
When's your last show is next Sunday?
Yeah, next Sunday. I will be back on the 4th. John Landecker has invited me to be on the show with him on Thursday the 4th.
So this is, John is doing a goodbye tour after the goodbye tour.
After the goodbye tour.
This is like the encore performance.
Yeah, I guess.
You're like Sinatra or something.
A very special engagement. Yeah.
How's the book selling?
It's doing very well. Audiobook doing very well. And Kindle stuff has done well. But it's anything is better than my expectations, to be honest with you.
What were your expectations?
None.
See, that's one of the things about you. One of your great qualities is your self-effacing nature.
Well, it's because...
It's because why? Go ahead.
Well, growing up, very few people expected anything out of me.
Yeah.
I didn't expect anything out of me. So I just go through life, sometimes blindly, and go, oh, really? Oh, okay. And I just keep going on.
See, one of the things, and you can get this from his book, The Unplanned Life, is Rutgers said yes to a lot of opportunities that may have not seemed like great opportunities. But from that, and it's apparent in your book, and it's apparent, I'm lucky enough to get to know this guy, it's apparent in everything you do. You have remained ever curious, ever professional. You and I can bitch and moan about any number of things, but that's part of life, too.
Part of life, sure it is.
I'll miss you, but let me get your barbecue schedule for December, January, and February, and I'll be right.
I just bought some heat lamps, so don't worry about it.
You have heat lamps?
I'm getting
like, Gibson's now.
I know.
You have heat lamps. Well, now you got to get back there and do the news, and I'm sure most of it's about the weather, but keep in touch with me, and if you can, keep in touch with your listeners.
I will.
They'll miss you.
I will.
When you're on the radio, to a modest extent, half hour sometimes, you're part of people's lives.
Yeah.
And people believe that.
I'll be on social media, even though
there you go.
One of the promises that I made Bridget was I'd be cutting back that, too. That's going to be a little harder to do, I think, but we'll see.
It'll start. It's like it's like coming off a hard drug. That's what it's like, Roger. You take care of yourself.
Thank you so much for everything.
Oh, don't be silly. And all you people out there, take care of yourselves.